Quarterly crime stats released by the police minister, Becky Clairlie, earlier today. And I suppose the headline news is that there was a 27.7% increase in murders between July and September of this year compared to the same period last year. Crimes against women and children going up as well. Child murders increasing by 31.7%. And the rape statistic, 105 people raped every day. If you do the maths, it's 105 people raped every day. Well, that's 105 people reporting being raped every day. That is 4 people every hour. And I think it is generally accepted that the number of people who are actually raped is a very small percentage. I mean, it's a much greater number than the very small percentage who report that violation. Lizette Lancaster is manager of the Crime and Justice Information and Analysis Hub at the Institute for Security Studies. Lizette, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and good afternoon to your listeners.
The statistics are horrible, but are the increases due to the fact that we're comparing them to a period last year which was different or not?
Partially. I think it's really important to compare them to last year, but also to the previous years. And I think it's when we compare it to the pre-COVID period that we are getting a little bit scared, because murder then has gone up effectively since pre-COVID financial year by 13%. And the same, you know, with attempted murder. We also see slight increases in carjacking and in residential robberies. So although there are some decreases, I don't think we should rejoice in them, because murder, for instance, is the most reliable crime statistic we have, and it's the best proxy for violence. As you pointed out, you know, many of the other types of crime stats that we see are wholly underreported. And that is what we also don't know from the COVID period, how many people actually felt comfortable going to the police to report these crimes.
Yeah, I mean, thank goodness we're getting crime stats every quarter now, as opposed to not too long ago, where we only got them once a year and got them some months after the expiry of the period for which we were being given crime statistics. And exactly. There's this weird thing that by Monday, nobody's going to be talking about the crime stats anymore, because we've become so used to statistics of this kind of horror. And
no, absolutely.
We have another conversation on Monday.
Yes, and unfortunately, some of those conversations on Monday will relate to crime, whether it's kidnapping, whether it's GBV, whether it's so many of the things that plague our communities every day.
The DA has, I suppose predictably, released a statement saying that this set of statistics proves again that Becky Clairlie is the wrong Minister of Police. I don't particularly rate the man, but it needs more than a Minister of Police to be replaced to turn this around.
Absolutely. You know, I think everybody is aware of the problems in the police, especially with police leadership. We have never seen in the past 2 decades a national commissioner really seeing through his term of office and not being suspended. We have seen complete plaguing of just, the politics infiltrating crime intelligence. And we've seen just problems of leadership at police stations. Disciplinary action against members is at an all-time low. There's very little accountability when you look at the annual report in terms of what happens to people when there's misconduct. So command and control is a huge problem. Of course, there are many very good men and women still in the police, and we must thank our lucky stars for that, because they are still effective given the search. But imagine a police service that are not run by politicians, and there's no political interference, and the best people for the jobs are actually appointed. We might actually start seeing a turnaround.
We would, but the turnaround wouldn't be to the low levels of the Scandinavian countries, because it's more than a policing problem. It is a whole of society problem. It's a huge cliche, I know, but that's the reality. That one of the things Becky Claire said today is that the vast majority of the rapes happened in the homes of the rapist or of the victim. And alcohol was a significant factor in many of the crimes. And those are things, well, you can police better the abuse of alcohol, but the fact that so much violence is intimate in that it happens between people who know each other makes it very difficult to police. That's something that's got to be dealt with. It's a whole of society problem and needs a whole of society solution.
Absolutely. Violence is taught, and it is normalized and it's accepted in our homes, in our schools, and on our streets. Whether it's through public violence incidents like the looting and such that we saw in July, whether it is domestic violence or school bullying, our children are growing up believing and accepting violence as an effective way of communication. And therein lies the problem. Whenever we get stressed, often fueled by alcohol, but not just exclusively, we act violently towards one another, our children, our partners, and our colleagues and friends. And that's the problem. Our society is plagued by intergenerational trauma and violence for decades and centuries. And that requires a very different outlook as to how we deal with it. We need budgets to support families. We need to really think about normative change. But we also need effective law enforcement. Part of the big problems around kidnappings and all those things and armed robberies that have just been increasing exponentially in the past decade is that we have this proliferation of organized crime syndicates and gangs. And therein lies the problem. If we can interrupt those networks, we can effectively prosecute those networks, we can really make a dent in crime. And then we can start also, in parallel, we need to focus on our children and support parents. I mean, just the economic downturn has led to immense frustration, hopelessness, and hunger. You know, nobody can operate optimally and deal with, you know, the best ways of conflict resolution possible in a family if you're hungry for it.
Lizette Lancaster, thanks very much for talking to us, Manager of the Crime and Justice Information and Analysis Hub at the Institute for Security Studies.